Today is the yard site of my grandmother, Bela Bas Michael. This shir is Le'ilui Nishmasa. As the Sefer Sukkah Shalom, Rebellia Gutmacher has a small volume about how to affect an Le'ilui Nishama for the departed. So he writes there in the beginning that there are five levels of activities that a descendant can do, Le'ilui Nishmasa Karov. The lowest level is son says Kaddish. That's even for Amratzim. And then he says, better than saying Kaddish, this is Daven for Namut. But he writes that not everyone can Daven for Namut. Sometimes people don't have a good voice, or they Daven too slow, or they Daven too fast, and people don't want them to Daven. So better than Daven for Namut is dedicating a specific mitzvah in the memory of the Karov. And better than that is engaging in Tamat Torah Barabbim. So that's a higher level of performing something Le'ilui Neshama. And he says the highest level is to engage in Tamat Torah Barabbim between Mincha and Maariv, when you're able to join together the day and the night with Tamat Torah. That's the highest level. So in that spirit, we'll dedicate our remarks today. Just to conclude the topic that we were addressing yesterday, when this Mananina starts, generally speaking, based on the rush that we paskin like in Sif Aleph, it seems that Aninas doesn't start and stop. Even if there is Misha Yisa Maso, even if there are other people involved in the Tzarech Yakvura, if there's a possibility that you may get involved, or even if you're somehow in the Parsha of involvement, then Aninus is constant, even if you're not actively involved at the moment. Rav Avadya has an interesting psak in the Chazon Avadya. He assumes that in a situation in which yesterday we spoke about what happens if the Avil does not accompany the mace to the Makam HaKvura. So let's say the Avil is accompanying the mace to the Makam HaKvura and they're flying on a plane, so you're flying from New York to Eretz Yisrael. So the 11 hours that you're going to be on the plane, the 12 hours on the plane, the mace is in the cargo hold in the back, and the Onain / Avil, the Karav, is in the front. So there's no way that he's going to have any Hisaskus with Sarchei Mace whatsoever. So Rav Avadya assumes that if there's no possibility whatsoever under these circumstances that he could have any Hisaskus with Sarchei Mace, then Aninus doesn't apply. Aninus is suspended for the period of time that he's on the plane. So he's allowed to say brachas, he's allowed to daven, and then as soon as the plane lands, he becomes an onin again. So Rav Avadya has such a psak, which I don't think is most poskim agree with. But so he'll have to explain the Hagos Maimoni that we quoted yesterday, who has a suffix about whether you go along with the mace on the Svina or in the Agala. Do you have the din? Does that have the din of Misarula Kasafim? So we assume it does not have the din of Misarula Kasafim. We assume that he's still considered an Onain. So Vadi would say that's talking about where you're traveling Mamish together with the Aron, and there's the possibility of his Askus or perceived his Askus during the time that you're traveling. But if you're in the passenger seat of the plane, you're sitting in the front and the mace is in the cargo hold, then there's no possibility of Hisaskus whatsoever. And then he thinks that Aninus would be suspended for that period of time. It maybe depends on whether he'd use a phone. So current FAA regulations and I think international regulations don't allow for use of cell phones on flights. But in theory, you could use a cell phone, or if it's legalized at some point, so maybe there would be more potential of Hisaskus during that time. So I don't know if it's going to be dependent on that. Rav Avadya consistently, maybe Lishitaso, also quotes a number of Achronim, again, not the accepted Psak, but a number of Achronim who suggest that if an Avel, so we explained an Avel's, sorry, an Onain, is not noheg the restrictions of Aninus on Shabbos. So Rav Avadya quotes some who say that an Onain going into Shabbos should be allowed to and should daven mincha samuch le knisas haShabbos. Because during those 10 minutes before Shkia, he already benched lich, his wife benched lich, and he's about to accept Shabbos, so there's no possibility of any Saskus during that time. So some of these poskim say that he should daven mincha, he should be allowed to, and if he's allowed to, then presumably mechuyev to, daven mincha right as Shabbos is beginning. Most poskim assume that that's not the case. Shabbos, the laws of Aninus are suspended, but up until Shabbos, and as soon as Shabbos ends, and when you're mashiach alotchem, then the laws of Aninus kick in. So under most circumstances, Aninus is not going to be suspended and then reinstituted. And the only situation in which Anina sends is what we discussed yesterday, the application of Mesir Lekasafim, or Rapsaras Panim, or the situation of not going to the Kvura, according to those Boskim, that Avelus would begin at that time. At the end of Simon Shin Mem Aleph, we have the discussion as to whether the laws of Aninus and Avelus don't jive. Or do we assume that, in principle, Nihuge Avelus already Nohe during the period of Aninus? The Rambam Paskin's Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. Me'emetsa Yischayiv Adam B'Avel, at what point does the halachas of Avelus kick in? Mishisasim Agolel, so once the Kvura takes place. Aval Kol Zman Shela Nikbar HaMeis, up to the Kvura, Eino Aser B'davar Min HaDvarim Sha'avel Aser Behem. So he's not going to be Aser in any of the Yisurei Avelus. V'mnei Tamzeh, Rachas David HaMelech V'sach, Kishameis HaYeled Kodem She'yikavar. And that's what the Pesukim in Shmuel Beis indicate, that David HaMelech, after his first son with Bathsheba passed away, so up to the point he was davening and in intense involvement until the point that the baby died, the Pesukim say that David HaMelech got up and was not Noheg Nihuge Avelus. So the Rambam thinks that's a raya, that Nihuge Avelus are not Noheg prior to Stima Sagolo. So according to the Rambam, Aninus Luchud, Avelus Luchud, there's a period of Aninus. Aninus has its own Nihugim, and then there will be a period of Avelus after the period of Aninus concludes, after the Kuras Hameis, with its own Halachas. And that's the position of the Ritz Geis that the Torah quotes here in Simen Shin Mem Aleph. The Ramban, however, disagrees. The Ramban is in the Torah Sa'adam, in the Masada Rav Kook edition, Kisvei Ramban, page Reish Yud Beis. So Ramban writes, "Vade noeg hu b'miksas divrei avelus." And the Ramban is addressing the question: why don't we say that avelus should be noeg during the period of aninus? After all, that is the period of most intense emotion. V'achri sachi yomar. And the Ramban himself holds avelus yamishan deraisa, which we haven't really discussed yet, but in due time. So why is it that the Nihuge Avelus shouldn't be Noheg at the same time of Aninus? And the Ramban says, not true, they actually are Noheg. Vade Noheg kub miksas divrei Avelus, that there are Hilchos Avelus that do apply during the period of Aninus. Asir Berchitza ubesicha kavachomer miyabasa v'yas yayin. So if an onen is asir b'basar v'yayin, which is mutter for an avel, then kol shekein is going to be aser v'ruchitza v'sicha, which is aser for an avel. So it's not that there are certain more limited restrictions of aninus, and the restrictions of avelus do not apply. No, the restrictions of avelus do apply, and aninus is something additional. Vein tzarech lomar she'aser v'simcha b'tis bares. Then the Ramban writes, "Lo amru ela she'eino cholitz min al v'sando." What restrictions of avelus do not apply during aninus? So he doesn't have to take his shoes off. Ve'eino ma'atei farosh. He doesn't have to perform atifas harosh. Ve'eino chayiv b'kviyas mitaso, and he's not mechuyiv in kviyas hamita. All nihugin that we'll discuss in due time. Why not? Ve'elu hikilu alav. So these things, kviyas hamita and atifas harosh and Nila Sandal, that we're makel about, because this onen has to be involved in the Iskei Hameis. So he has to be involved in the Tzorach HaKvura, and he has to travel. If you're going to insist that he not sit normally, that he not sleep normally, that he not dress normally, that he not wear shoes, then afiske ameis nesadimik afiske can have a detrimental effect on this ability to be properly osei b'tzorach ameis. If he has to walk around barefoot, he's not going to be as efficient in taking care of tzorach ameis, in traveling where he needs to travel, and that's why we weren't machmir on these things. But short of that, where there's a potential impediment to his ability to be osik b'tzorach ameis, all other nihuge avelas are noheg during the period of aninus. Then the Ramban writes a different reason, that ikar avelas min haTorah eino ela v'idunin kegon rechitza sicha v'tashvish v'simcha utfilin v'tichboses v'tisbores, that the ikar nihuge avelas min haTorah are things that make you more presentable, things that involve some kind of pleasure, washing yourself, anointing yourself, tashmish, simcha, tefillin, laundry, haircuts. So all those things involve some kind of idunin, some kind of pleasure, some kind of simcha. So those nehuve avelus are considered to be aser min haTorah. However, ne'ilas hasandal, atifas harosh, that those nehuge avelos are only derabbanan. Shelo amr Torah lanos v'lesar nafsha minoeg shel kol olam. Because that's not min haTorah to afflict yourself. So the Ramban says that nehuge avelos basically break down into two major categories. One category is things that are idunin v'simcha, things that involve pleasure. So those nehugim are aser min haTorah. And there are other things that involve some kind of affliction, some kind of tsar, inoy, and those nihugei avelus are only midrabbana. So when it comes to the nihugei avelus that are min haTorah, and again, after all, the Ramban holds that avelus yom rishon daraisa. So when it comes to the nihugei avelus that are min haTorah, those apply even during the period of aninus. The nihugei avelus that are midrabbanan, those only apply after the aninus is complete, after the kfuras. So the Ramban has two reasons. Why the Ramban assumes most nihugei avelus are noeg during the period of aninus, with the exception of ne'ilas hasandal and tivas harosh and kfiyas amita. So let's talk about ne'ilas hasandal. That's the most salient one of those. So according to the first time of the Ramban, the reason that in principle, all nihugei avelus should be noeg, and those are exceptions because they would interfere with tzorachei ameis. And according to the second reason, the Ramban, there's a distinction between nihugei avelus that are deraisa and nihugei avelus that are derabanan. Those nihugei avelus that are mishum simcha idunin are deraisa, and those are in play even during the period of aninus. And those nihugei avelus that are only derabanan, those that have tsar and inoi components, those are only noheg after aninus ends, when avelus begins after the kfura. Okay. So how do we paskin lehalacha? So the Chavir writes here in Se'if Hei, Kol zman shel nikmar hameis, until the kfura takes place, eino cholif min of his sandal, so he doesn't take off his shoes, the eino chayi b'ativa sarosh kfiya samita, and he doesn't have to be noeg ativa sarosh kfiya samita, aval aser leishev alishan agabe mita filu kufui, but he's not allowed to sit down or to lay down on a bed, even if it is a mita kfuya. How's the mechaber paskin? Not so clear, right? The mechaber says that until kfura semes, he's not allowed to be, he doesn't have to be knowing the isra of nilas hasandal ativa sarosh kfiya samita. So that's like the Ramban. What about the other nihugei avelus? Mechaber just says you're not allowed to sit on a chair or on a bed. You're not allowed to sit on a bed. The other nihugei avelus, he doesn't seem to address explicitly. So hold that thought. And the Rama says the kol shekein she'asur b'tashmish amita. Okay, that we saw Tosas Moikat and Kaf Gimel. V'yesh omrim the asur b'rchitza v'sicha v'simcha v'sheila shalom v'tisbares ubimalacha avamotu latzeis mi pesach besa. So it's clear that the Ramah in the Yesh Omrim is paskening like the Ramban, that all the Nihugei Avelos are, with some exceptions, but in principle, Nihugei Avelos are Noheg during the period of Aninus. And how does the Mechaber paskin? So, I think it's more readily assumed that the Mechaber paskin is like the Rambam. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands here in Se'if Kaf Ches. But that's not at all clear. And the Badi HaShulchan here quotes from the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Chasam Sofer Simen Shin Kaf Dalet. That the Mechaber is also the Pasuk like the Ramban. The Ramah is being Mefarish the Mechaber, the Mechaber is Samet Sasim, and the Ramah is being Mefarish. But the Mechaber is also Pasuk like the Ramban. Be that as it may, whatever the Pasuk of the Mechaber is, it's clear that the Ramah's Pasuk, and therefore our Pasuk, is like the Ramban. That Nihugei Avelus are Nohei during the period of Aninus, with the exceptions of Nilas Asandal, Tivas Arosh Kriya Samita, which are less Lamaisa, and then the Ramah adds the Isra V'Yitzia Mi Pesach Besa. So common practice is that an onain will wear his shoes up to the point of the kfura, and then after the kfura, take his shoes off. Rav Schechter points out, and Rav Schechter was knowing this way himself, that the Iker Tam of the Ramban is the first Tam. The Iker Tam is that in principle, all Nihugei Avelos should be Noeg during the period of Aninus, except for where a given Nihug is going to interfere with your ability to be Osei B'tzarche Emes. So, B'yamim Kamonim, if a person be Mekayim the Isser of Ne'ilas Sandal, meant going barefoot. So, if someone were to walk around without shoes, so then it would interfere with his ability to be Osei B'tzarche Emes. But nowadays, we have canvas sneakers, we have footwear that doesn't violate the Isser, that in no way interferes or need not interfere with being Osei B'tzarche Emes. So if an onan has access to canvas sneakers that aren't going to interfere with his ability to be Osei B'tzarche Emes, so you should wear the canvas sneakers, because in principle, Nihugei Avelos are no egg, so long as they don't interfere with the Tzarche Emes. That's what Rav Schechter did himself. When he was an onan, he went to the Beis HaKvaris with sneakers and to the Kvura for this reason. Now, would you say the same thing for the Isser V'Yitziya Mi Pesach Beso? Right, the Ramah says here another exclusion to the restrictions, or another exclusion to the Nihugei Avelos during the period of Aninus is Yitziya Mi Pesach Beso. So presumably that's because if you're going to tell the Onin he can't leave the house, so then he's not going to be able to properly be Osei B'tzarche Emes. But what about, so if, is that a blanket dispensation? Can the owner go out to the grocery to pick up a gallon of milk? So in the Badi Yashulchan here, in Badi Yashulchan Sif Katan Kuf Yud, he writes that Mistima Saposkim, it sounds like there's a low plug. You don't find explicitly in Poskim that an owner is only allowed to go out with Tzarech Hames. And the Divrei Sofrim points out here, the Divrei Sofrim in Sivkatan Peites, Divrei Sofrim Sivkatan Peites points out that he thinks the Mashmas of the Kisr Shulchan Aruch, the way he presents this halacha, is that you're only allowed to go out with Tzarech Hames. And Rav Schechter thought that was correct also, along the same lines, that the dispensation here of Yitziya Min Habayis is only if you're going out with Tzarech Hames. If Tam to go out for any other reason would not be permissible for an onan.
Does the tzuvil and the dealings of the milk, is that included in Tzarech Hames?
No. Why is that something that needs to be taken care of before Shmura?
It's not for the Kfura, but it's for the Mis.
No, Tzarech HaMis means the Kfura, preparing for the Kfura. People don't deal with wills till after Shiva, and it's not a... Okay. So the Mechabi here has this other halacha of Aser Leishev Elishan Al Gabe Mita Filu Kfuya. That an onin is not permitted to sit or lay down on a mita. Where does that come from? So that is also Lashon HaRamban, which is another reason you might be inclined to assume that the Mechaber is also agreeing to the Ramban. So the Ramban in the piece that we just read writes, Kfar Amru, Shu Asur Leishev Afilu Al Mita Kafuya. El al gabe karka hu tzarech leishev. So an onen has to sit al gabe karka. It's not so clear where this comes from. And it doesn't seem to be common practice. As the later post can point out, common practice is that an onen sits normally, and sits on a chair is normal, and the din of yeshiva gabe karka only applies once the kvur is over. The Baal Shulchan thinks that since it's the psak of the mechaber, and no one here seems to argue, then it would be appropriate to be machmir. But it seems that common practice is that an onen does not sit dafka gabe karka. So the Yehuda Veils, I don't know. I couldn't find it in the Rav Avadya. I'm not saying it's not there. I just couldn't find it. So if you find it, let me know. I don't know. I mean, there is a discussion. If you look in the Piskei Shuv in Simen Shin Pei, Simen Shin Pei is the beginning of in the Yehuda Yavelis. So if you look in the Piskei Shuvah of Katan Dalid, he quotes the Machasan Sofer, and there's also a discussion in the Tshuva Meyava. So apparently some had the practice in Europe that they became an onen, and they know they're anticipating a week of Shiva in which they're not going to be permitted to engage in any business dealings. There's an avos aser bin malacha, it's aser to go to work, it's aser to make money. So the practice in some places was that during the period of aninus, the soon-to-be avel would sell part of his business to a partner so that the partner could keep the business open during the week of Shiva. And the Tshuva Meyava discusses about the Nod Yehuda reacting or not reacting to a similar practice that some had to shave during the period of Aninus. So at first glance, this is all a violation of the Psak of the Ramban, based on the Ramban, that these Nihugi Avelis are Noheg during the period of Aninus. But the Piskei Tshuva quotes here that since anyway it's a Machlokas Rishonim, and these people are going to do it anyway, and they're worried about losing out money. So he writes, "Bachru harab imiuto." It's the lesser of evils. Levatul ksas b'shas aninus. So if they're going to do it anyway, and to do it during aninus would be better than to do it during avelus, meaning to engage in any business during avelus is more chamer than during aninus, because during aninus you could rely on the Rambam and have to reshow the machlokas whether the iser applies at all. And that was some of the discussion by Tisporez Giluach as well, that it's less chamor to shave during the period of Aninus than to shave during the period of Avelus. So definitely if you hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is the Rabbanon, or maybe what to rely on. So that's a discussion as to whether there's any justification No one was endorsing the practice, but it seems that there was a don't ask, don't tell policy, or at least this happened, and the Rabbanim didn't protest vigorously against that practice. Shai?
This Ramacha applies to someone keeping nobody business for you?
Yeah, we'll see in Siman Shin Pei that you can't have your business open if you, even if other people are conducting it on your behalf. Yeah.
Okay,
so we'll discuss that. That's not a topic now. We'll get to that. Okay. Take a look at Siman Shin Ayin Vav Si'if Gimel. Just want to mention the halacha here as we basically skipping the siman for the moment, but just because, as I mentioned, today's my grandmother's yahrzeit, and this halacha came up when my grandmother passed away. My mother, Lashalom, predeceased my grandmother. At the time that my grandmother passed away, there were none of the Zayin Krovim alive who could have been Noeg Avelis. I was the closest relative. So the din here in Sif Gimel, Shinai Vav Sif Gimel, based on a Gemara in Shabbos Kufnin Beis. This is the Mechaber's quotes the Lashon HaRambam, the Lashon HaRambam Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchas Avelis. So the Mechaber writes here, Lashon HaRambam, Meis She'ein Lo Avelim Lesnachem, if you have a meis where there are no krovim to accept Tanchumin, no one's being Noeg Avelis, what do you do? So you have 10 upright, upstanding people. The Yoshvim Bimkomo called Zayin Yimei Avelis, and they sit in the place, the residence of the deceased, for the 7 days of Avelis. Ushara Am Iskabsa Malayim, and everyone else gathers around. Vimlo Yusham Asara Kvuim Bechol Yom Vayom, and if you don't have 10 people there, Bikvias, Miskabsa Masar Mishara Am, the Yoshvim Bimkomo. Then other people, you just have 10 people sit down there, and that's somehow a sufficient kiyum of this halacha. So absent any avelim, you have to create a situation of pseudo avelim, that people are standing in, you have a minion of people standing in for the avelim where there are no avelim, and they're going to accept tanchumin. Lerma writes, v'lor isi noag in kain. That's not our practice. So the question is, why is it in our practice? That's what the Gemara says. It's what the Rambam says. And there's no indication in any of the Rishonim that anyone argues. So why is that not our practice? How do you understand the Gemara otherwise? So the Baal Shulchan suggests that it could be our practice is based on a different understanding of the Gemara. He quotes a Sefer Agudah like this, which is reflected in the continuation of the Ramah here. The Ramah writes, in the continuation, Kasim Maril, Nogim Lispalil Basara Kol Shiva, so the minig is to have a minion during the period of Shiva, B'makam Shenifter Shama Adam, where the mace passed away. V'hainu Al Adam Shaloi Niach Krovim Yiduim Lisabalav. That's if we're talking about a person where there are no krovim who are being Noeg Avelis. Aval yesh lo b'shum makam shemes avim lavein zar. But if there are avelim, so then there's no need to have a minion b'makam ha-pitira. So Baal HaShulchan says that it could be our practice is based on a different understanding of the Gemara. The way to understand the Gemara is not that you have to have 10 people accepting tanchumin, but you have to have 10 people there davening, conducting a minyan in the makam Yitzias HaNeshama. So after my grandmother passed away, she passed away in Montefiore Hospital. So that week, well, it would have been a week of Shiva. There's no one being Noe Shiva. So I had a mincha minyan there in the hospital every day, which I thought was a kiyum of this Ramah, in a situation of where there are no avelim. Okay, so let's move on to Siman Shin Ayin Ches and the halachas of Sudas Havra. The Gemara tells us in Moikat and Adav Kavzai and Amadeiz about a little more than a third of the way down the long lines. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Avel Yom Rishon Aser Lecha Lecha Mishalo. An Avel on the first day is prohibited from eating his own bread. Avel Yom Rishon Aser Lecha Lecha Mishalo. Nida Amar Le Rachman Le Yecheskel. How do we know that? The Pesukim in Yecheskel, the Lecha Men Hashem Lo Sochal. So there are multiple instances in those Pesukim in Yecheskel that indicate that Yecheskel was supposed to be nohe differently than your standard Avel. So Yecheskel was told, do not eat the bread of others. Implication is that a regular Avel may, and the Gemara understands, should dafka eat the bread of others. So again, the statement here is Avel Yom Rishon Asur Lecha Lecha Mishala. So the only word in this phrase that isn't subject to machlokas is Avel. The machlokas, what does Yom Rishon mean? The machlokas, what does Asur mean? The machlokas, what does Lecha mean? And Mishala also, Evan agrees, Mishala. So let's try to analyze these multiple layers of machlokas and figure out what the nature of Suda Savra is. Okay, so the first thing is by Yom HaRishon. Avel Yom Rishon Asur Lecha Mishalo. The Tosfos writes here, Afilu Ochel Kama Pa'amim Ba'oso Yom, the Loksani Suda Rishana. The Gemara doesn't say an Avel is not permitted to eat his own bread during the first meal of Avelus. It says during the first day. So Tosa understands that this Isser applies to any food consumed by, or any meal, any bread, we'll get to, consumed by an Avel on the first day of Avelus. Yom Rishon is Dafka. It doesn't mean Suda Rishona. It means the entire first day. That's the mashmos of the Rambam as well. The Rambam is Perek Dalid Alacha Tes. Ha'avil b'yom harishon bilvad asur l'niach tefillin, which we'll get to, v'lechol mishalo. So Avil, during the first day, is not permitted to eat his own food. So Stima's Lashon HaRambam is that this Isser applies the entire first day. And the Rosh argues, the Rosh in Simon Peites here in Ma'ikatan assumes that the Rosh is a position that Tosfos is coming lafukei. Okay? The Rosh assumes that even though it says the Yom Rishon is lav dafka, the Rosh has rayas, where else do we have a term of Yom Rishon, and Yom Rishon is lav dafka the entire day. So the Rosh assumes that Yom Rishon is lav dafka, and the Isser applies only to the first meal that an Avil consumes. Okay, and that's how we pass in Lahalacha. Shin Ayin Ches, Avel Asir Lecha Mishalo B'Suda Rishona, Aval Mishniya Mutter. So the Isser of eating his own food only applies during the first meal consumed by an Avel. Once an Avel consumes food sent by someone else, he's permitted to eat his own food afterwards, even on the same day. Avel Asir Lecha Mishalo B'Suda Rishona, Aval b'shnei amuter afilu b'yom rishon. Okay. Mechad writes in Seif Gimel, Im ratsa ha'avel shelo lechol b'yom harishon, mutar lechol mishelo afilu suda rishona. So this din of Asalakha Mishalah, the din of Suda Savra, only applies on the first day of Avelis. And if an Avel chooses to not eat anything that day, then come the next day, come that night, as the Ramah says, he's permitted to eat his own food. We say the first day means until night. The night is not included as part of that first day. Then there's no need for a Sudas Havra. So Shach points out over here, Sivkat and Dalit, Imratza, Mashma, the Imratza, Avilis, Anos, Vosar, Yom, Mutter. So the Mechaber is saying that if he wants to not eat that first day, then he's allowed to eat his own food. The second day, so that sounds like he has the prerogative of fasting if he so desires. Yeah?
Why does the Shach say
Good. Because according to some Rishonim, he's not allowed to. According to the Hagos Ashri, according to the Or Zeruah, again, the Rush here is in Simon Peites, so the Hagos Ashri is on the margin of the Rush. So he quotes over there from an Or Zeruah that we do not allow an Avil to fast on the first day of Avelis. He may not fast on the first day of Avelis even if he wants to. Why? Good. We'll get there. Side of that, the flip of that question is, so we just established, according to the Shach, which is the pashtus of the Lashon HaMechaber, if an Avel wants to fast on the first day of Avelis, he may do so. And then there's no din of a Suda Savra on day two. What happens, and again, I'm not giving any reasons here, we're just presenting the halachas, and then we'll try to put them together with some Havana. What happens on the flip side? What happens if there is no one else to give the Avil food? He wants to eat, but Asur Lachal Nishalo, and there's no one coming to give him food. So does he then have to fast, or is he allowed to eat his own food? So the Rush there writes that he is allowed to eat his own food. And that's what the Taz quotes here in Sivkat and Aleph. The Taz writes, Nira, De'im lo shalchu lo oshehu yichid ba'ir, if no one sends him food, or he's the only one in the town, Ein chayav litzar atmo shelo lechokal. So he doesn't have to afflict himself to fast. De'mishim hachi kasam kanatur v'shochan aruch, the mitzvah shkeinav shiachiluhu shelo yachal mishalo. So that's what the Rush quotes from Yerushalmi, that there's a mitzvah for the neighbors to provide food for the avel. So the Taz says the ikar mitzvah is on the neighbors, so they shouldn't cause him to eat his own food. But if he has no other food to eat, so then push comes to shove, he's allowed to eat his own food. Okay, so far we have a machlokas Tosas Rambam against the Rush, whether this then applies to Yom Rishon or Suda Rishona, Shulchan Aruch Paskin Suda Rishona. We have a machlokas between the Or Zeruah and the Stimas Tzach and the Mechaber, whether an Avil is allowed to fast on Yom Rishon, and the Mechaber, the way the Shach understood Paskin, that he is allowed to fast. And then the question is, what is a din if he does not have others' food to eat? Must he fast, or is he allowed to eat his own food? So the Taz here paskins that he's allowed to eat his own food. And then a fourth potential consideration. We said the other issue subject to dispute is, what's the definition of lechem? The Orcha Shulchan writes in Sifkat and Beis, the Lechem's Dafka, that this din, the Gemara said, the name of Rav Yehuda Merav was Asur Lecha Lecha Mishalo. Interestingly, Tosus in his Divrei Maskil doesn't have the word lachem. And Mechaber also doesn't have the word lachem. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that the Isser fundamentally only applies to lechem. But if you look in the Divrei Sofer, there are other Achronim that assume otherwise, that the Isser applies to any food, and lechem is lav dafka. Okay, so what is the reason for the din of Sudas Havra / the Isser of eating Mishalah? So the Divrei Sofrim points out that the Lashon Hatur is Menachem in Tachila. That sounds like providing food for the Avel is a kiyum of Nichum Avelim. And he says that's what the Levush writes explicitly. It's a kiyum of Nichum Avelim. So when the neighbors come and provide food to the Avel, they are being Mekayim Nichum Avelim. Beis Yosef quotes a different reason from the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the Rush, that we're concerned that an Avel left his own devices may not take care of himself. So in this extreme state of emotional instability, if we don't provide the Avel with food, then we're concerned that he may not take care of himself, he may harm himself. So we have to provide him with food to ensure that he is not going to harm himself. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Based on the start of the Beis Yosef and the Ben Yeruch, it seems logical not to have many of the new avails that we do, because it would promote the avail not taking care of himself. For example, the issurim related to his personal hygiene.
So we're particularly concerned that he should eat. That's the issue that the Rabbeinu Yeruchim raises. So why don't we show that he eats? And then the Divrei Sofer and the Ba'al Shulchan quote from the Sefer Shevet Yehuda. Different reason that we're concerned left his own devices he may get drunk. The opposite concern. L'nitan yayin l'nachem avelim. So we limit what he's going to eat by bringing in outside food to make sure that he's not going to go to the other extreme and lose himself because of his emotional distress. The Divrei Sofrim quotes that from the Sefer Shevet Yehuda. I'm sorry?
Assuming it applies to drinks also.
So he assumes it applies to drinks, right? It's not Pasha that applies to drinks. Most, that's a discussion in Achronim. He's definitely assuming that it applies to drinks. Okay, so if the concern is either it's a Nicham Avelim oriented halacha, or we're concerned that he should take care of himself, so then it's more understandable that we're not going to insist that this person fast if no one's able to provide him with his own food. If no one's able to provide him with food. What about the first machlokas? Does it only apply to Yom Risha? Does it only apply to Sud Rishana? Does it apply to the entire day? Rabbi Willie pointed out it's arguable that if it's a function of Nicham Avelim, so then it's arguable you could understand that it would apply to the entire day, not Bechreyach, but it could. If it's the Rabbi Yucham's reason of Hezek, you want to make sure that he takes care of himself, so then it's more likely to only apply to the Suda Rishona, make sure that he eats a normal meal. And then and then he can eat or not eat as he chooses. Rav Schechter has a piece in the Ginos Egos where he presents Suda Savra in the following way. Is Suda Savra a halacha nicham avelim, as we said from the Torah, or is Suda Havra a kiyam in avelis? So he said that is dependent on a machlokas rishonim, whether the din of Suda Savra applies on chalamoy. There's no din of Suda Savra on Yantiv. What about Chol HaMoed? So the Pashtus in the Mishnayis and Daf Kaf Dalet is that Suda Savra applies on Chol HaMoed as well. And the Rosh Hashanah quotes a smack and others who hold that it does not apply on Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, there are no Nihuge Avelos, but there is a potential notion of Tanchumen. Right? There could be a Kiyum in Nicham Avelim on Chol HaMoed, even if there are no Nihuge Avelos. So Rav Schechter suggests the following Nafkamina. What would happen? Is it a proper kiyum in Suda Savra if you're going to provide, the neighbors are going to provide the Suda Savra prior to the Kfura? It's going to be rushed after the Kfura, they're not going to be able to make it, so they're going to put the Suda Savra in the refrigerator prior to the Kfura. So Shachar says, if it's a kiyum in Avelus, it shouldn't make a difference. As long as the food is there for the Avel to avail himself of, it doesn't make a difference whether the food arrived before the Kfura or after the Kfura. But if it's a kiyam in Nicham Avelim, so there is no Nicham Avelim before the Kfura. Nicham Avelim is only after the Kfura. So it's not just that the food needs to be there, but there have to be neighbors that are going to provide the food, which would make it a kiyam of Nicham Avelim. And simply leaving it in the refrigerator prior to the Kfura is not going to fulfill that aspect of Nicham Avelim. Right. You should be eating your own food, and we want you to eat, so then someone else has to provide the food. But according to that sad, so then there's more of a reason to hold that if you don't have any food, so maybe you can't eat.
Does anyone argue on that, the rush?
Does anyone argue on which rush? I think the Ramban argues. Does the Ramban argue in that Nakuda? The Ramban No, sorry, the Ramban's the other. The Ramban says you're allowed to fast. Or the Ramban says the Ramban says in others allowed to fast. Does he say there also that you're mechuyav to fast? I don't remember. So he quotes here that the Shevet Yehuda is machmir, that if he doesn't have what to eat from others, then he's not allowed to eat. But I don't think you find that in Rishon, right? I think the Ramban only says that you're allowed to fast. I don't think he says that in this situation in Mukhli to fast. So in Achronim you have those that are Machmir against the Taz. But I don't think you have that in Rishon. So the common practice is what the Mechaber describes later in the Semen. He writes, a mavrin tefila bebeitzim abetavshir shaladashim zecher lavelas v'acher kach ochlem kol tzarchem. The common practice is that you provide the avelim with a suda savra, which just consists of the bare minimum of bread and beitzim or adashim, which is an avelis kind of food. And then that's meal one, and then after that they can eat whatever they want. That's the common practice of suda savra.